I'm driving right now on the German Autobahn, so please don't mind the noise. I'm between two hospitals right now, visiting some people today. Listener, I hope that you listening to this have the joy of the Lord in your life. It's not a throwaway phrase, joy of the Lord, and I mean nothing superficial at all by it. I mean, I hope that you are living your life knowing that you're redeemed, that you stand clearly in and on the righteousness of Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you know you'll never enter into judgment with God in the future because Christ has offered you a way to settle out of court now through repentance and faith. I hope that you have repented of your sin, put your trust in Christ alone, and therefore, no matter what God brings into your life, you know that it is working a greater reward for you in heaven with God. The knowledge of salvation is yours. That's what I mean by I hope the joy of the Lord is yours and that working itself out in your life. Part of where you're going to really be able to understand that joy is in church. I know that people have been hurt from churches. Churches are made up of human beings. Humans sin and blow it. I absolutely know that every church, every local church at the corner of 5th and Main kind of thing, and every local town, as God has ordained this, that churches would be established in cities with multiple elders running the church, that they're all just one generation from apostasy. And that it happens. It's happening in our day a little more than should on the homosexual issue. Churches that are open and affirming aren't churches. Period. They don't love God and they are not loved by God. This is very common, one common illustration of it in our day. One of the things that you're going to come to see and know in your life about joy is when you have a group of elders for whom you can pray and know by experience and by experiencing the truth from them and their labors for you and your family that you can trust to speak and confirm and bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life. That they're going to ask things of you, that they're going to test and try you with words that are designed not to break you, but as Paul writes, that they, the elders, the apostles in their day, these apostles were laborers for the joy of the people. We as pastors know that the joy that we want people to experience is freedom. It's from freedom in Jesus. Being set free from sin and knowing it. And then getting after the work that the Bible calls Christians to do in living their lives according to the gospel. Coloring their affairs according to the gospel. Freedom comes by it. By putting to death the deeds of the flesh, being led thus by the Holy Spirit, believers crying Abba in their suffering have the Spirit bearing witness with their spirit that they're children of God. And it's a wonderful process of assurance that's theirs by it. That's what we want. And the Word of God is designed to do that for you. If you are in Jesus Christ, then the way that God is going to speak to you isn't by dreams, revelations, private, and special movie clips. It's not going to, you know, appear to you in your bedroom tonight and have a conversation with you. But He will if you're in His Word. Everywhere that His Word applies, everywhere that you're thinking of it, God is there speaking to you. It's in this book to which he has committed himself, where the Spirit guides us to interpretation. And there's wisdom and counsel for this, and there's surety in it. Not because God is a poor communicator, but because we are such poor listeners. And so every church listens to its elders and those who've gone before them, if they're wise, and if there's any historical precedent there, as there certainly is today, well, it's all the more sure what we can learn from multiple generations that have gone before us, knowing that they were them and we are us. That the issues in their day were theirs, and those in our day are ours. It's not always the same. Are you in church? A pastor named Mark Dever, whose tone of voice I hear, I think, just about every single time in the pulpit where I read Scripture. I have within me a real desire to, when I read the Bible, not talk in the same voice in which I'm talking in now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I want there to be some kind of like what you'd see on a page with normal font and then italicized font and then normal font again, where you recognize a difference. I really want there, I don't know if there is, but I really want there to be a recognizable difference in my tone when I'm speaking God's words versus even my commentary on God's words. And I got that from Mark Dever. He made the statement many years ago, Capitol Hill Baptist Church pastor, by the way, D-E-V-E-R, Mark Dever. He made the statement many years ago that if you're not a member of a local church that you attend regularly, you're probably going to hell. Now, in our day of rugged individualism, that seems nonsensical. And he used certain words there for a reason, like probably, member, visit regularly, terms like that. He said again, if you're not a member of a local church that you attend regularly, you're probably going to hell. Very careful use of words there, not to overstep the bounds of what he's saying, the bounds of what he has an authority to say by Scripture here. What he's saying is true. And in our day, we probably don't receive it as true, but usually that's going to be people that say things like, well, I don't have to go to church to love God. That's wrong. That's just false. It's just untrue. And what it indicates to somebody is, at best, immaturity. I'm not saying you're not a Christian if you haven't gone to church. Neither is Dever. I'm not saying you can't be saved unless you've gone to a church. Neither is Dever. But the tip of the iceberg of someone's life is revealed by stupid things. And it is a stupid and unbiblical thing to say, oh, I don't need to go to church. The letters of the Bible were only written to churches, folks. Well, the vast majority, they were written to some audience that did vary. But the vast majority, especially of New Testament, we go to, of letters, the Old Covenant being written to a people group that was formed around the law given to Moses and the traditions of those who went before, but founded around the law, the Pentateuch, the Torah. The New Covenant is written to the church in Corinth, churches in Galatia, to the church in Ephesus, Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, etc. Different churches around the world, the known world at the time. That's to whom the letters are written. People in those places, therefore, are the ones receiving them, hearing them read aloud, hearing them taught. You don't have to go to church to be born again. You have to go to church as a part of living like it. And to have this joy of the Lord, God doesn't give it to rogue people running around on their own in the world like he does people in the local fellowship. To the day in and day out, bake sale running, Sunday school teaching, week in, week out, young, old, difficult, easy, ugly and beautiful of the church, work. To those in that work, around that work, this is what we call, or has been called in history, the place of the commanded blessing. The church is that place. Which church? Your church. The one you should be in this weekend. It always kills me to hear people say they don't have time to go to church, but they want to go to heaven when they die. That's such a revealing and sad thing. I want to go to heaven for eternity when I die, but my kids have soccer. Your kids shouldn't be in soccer if it's keeping you from church. Sunday's my rest day. Rest on Saturday then. That's the day I sleep in. Sleep in on Saturday then. Well, that's the day I go to the gym. Well, there you go, stupid. You got some bad priorities. I'm not talking about these other things being sinful. Don't get legalistic on me. I'm talking about, necessarily, they are sinful when they find a place of priority in your life over that which God has commanded you to do, like go to church. The example of members in the body alone drive this point home plainly. Plainly. A body has many members, and they don't all have the same function. So obviously, people in the body, in their various roles and functions and procedures, are what make the body work. All of these analogies. Friends, we want you to know the joy of the Lord. And in a good church, you're going to have the mass gathering. Hopefully you're going to sing songs designed not just to tap your toe, but to remind you of why Christians should sing, the truths of which we sing, having been brought to you week in and week out. You're reminded why you sing. The Christian church is a singing church. It's a giving church. Hopefully your church is involved in feeding the poor, not the lazy, the poor. World missions. You know, somewhere outside your zip code, in your zip code, we got so much money, we can be doing both. Hopefully you're in a place that you see that going on and you want to give to it with your money. If your pastor's in a 20,000 square foot home, he's not a pastor, or she, God forbid, leave that church immediately. It's not worth the next 5 minutes. If the pastor's flying in a jet, you don't have a pastor there. You've got a charlatan. I'm talking about an actual church with an actual claim legitimately to the gospel, doing these works. That's what the church is about. And you're going to get it by going on YouTube? I don't think so. There's going to be small groups, whereas in every generation, people are learning the gospel and they come together and for whatever reason identify with one another in a Bible study under Christ. And any good church is going to have Bible studies, and if it's big enough, you know, numerous ones. Hopefully. And people go to them and you make friends and you rub elbows and shoulders with people and you come to learn and know more about the truth thereby. Oh, friend, this is a part of your growth, your joy. We want you to have it. And if you're not around, we can't help you. We just can't help you if you're not there. So you do have to go to church. How often do you have to go to the grocery store? Well, as often as you want food. And Jesus said things like about himself, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. The sheep by necessity come to recognize where they're fed and they want more of the food. And so when someone says, well, I don't have to go to church, it doesn't just mean they don't like being around church. It shows they don't recognize where the food is. Get that on YouTube. No, you get crumbs. YouTube is great. What a tool. What a medium. What a wonderful. I'm not in church 7 days a week, right? I'm not there. I'm there once, twice a week. In the services I'm in, where I pastor right now, we just don't have midweek services. There's just people don't show up. Here in Germany. It's hard to get in there on a weekend. You get a 4-day, everybody travels in Germany. You know, just Europe. You're gone. It's cheap. You go do it. we have our own dynamic. But what an advantage it is to be able to go on to YouTube or Biblicia.com and stream stuff. Man, that's wonderful. But it ain't church. It doesn't cost me anything. YouTube is free. It doesn't cost me any unease to be around people for the sake of the gospel to build them up. There's nothing drawn from me. And so I get a consumer mentality. Serve me. Make me. Teach me. Build me, my kingdom come. And we become obese very quickly by this parachurch culture. Well, church is about growing in Christ. It is about learning about Jesus more and more with each passing day. And that's what we want for people, man. We want them to come to know Jesus more. And the place that God has chosen to do that is in His church. That church looks very different in very different cities. That's okay. That's God's design. But in every city where the gospel may look different, the gospel is still the gospel. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Repent and trust in Him, and you'll know Him. Seek Him while He may be found. You'll find Him. Ask for Him. You'll get an answer. That gospel we want for you. But if you're not in the church, if you're not around, well, we'll try to get you any way we can. We'll try to get you in your home with a video or come visit you in a hospital. We'll do what we can do. Because we know, A, that God has sent us, and B, that He's in a million ways reaching out to people in ways we can't even see. And so we just go, and we just bring, and we just give, and we make ourselves vulnerable as ministers to be shot down. It's okay. You don't sustain me, you can't break me. We go after you, but what we want from you, we cannot give you in any way better than by having you week in and week out among us, in the church. Are you in a church? A good church opens the Bible with you every week? Man, if you are, then you know what I'm talking about already. You know what I'm saying is true. And if you're not, well, repent. Stop disobeying God. And find yourself a church. They're out there. They're out there. It exists. Find a church. Find a place you can go to and give yourself to. Build your life around that sucker, man. It's worth it. You will find God in that place. If it's a good church, you're going to find God in that place. And that is worth everything. And the believer knows it. So I pray you're in that place and that you have people who are laboring for your joy in your life, seeking the Lord in prayer in your behalf, in the ministry of the word, in ordinances. I'm going to baptize some people this weekend at our church. I cannot wait. One of them's one of my own daughters. Oh, and another is a couple that came out of a Catholic background and a Lutheran background. Neither need to be baptized this weekend, but as Rome is a theological apostate, and as Lutherans misapply the ordinance of baptism to infants, they both understand why they're coming. I can't wait to minister this means of grace to them in their lives. And people are going to see it. And guess what? If you're not there on Sunday, you don't get to see it. You don't get to see it. Now, I wish I was in the street corners doing this every day and people were coming to the river and I was baptizing them, but I don't live in a place and a time where that happens. But it does happen everywhere the gospel is preached. In some way, shape, or form. And in our cultures, that tends to be on a Sunday where believers gather. I'm going to stop with this soon. I'm just going to say, no, friend, they're not perfect. And I know you may have been hurt in some churches. And I'm sorry that that happened to you. But it doesn't mean everybody's like that. And maybe you were an idiot, and maybe you were the problem. But if you were hurt in a church for the wrong reason, sorry. I'm sorry. Pray about that. Seek forgiveness for those people that wronged you. And be free of that in your life. But come to church. And don't just give it one visit. Come to a church because there you'll find Jesus loved and lifted up. And when you see that, you become hungry for that. You want more of that. And that's what I pray for you, is that those who hunger and thirst would be filled. I want you to be filled with this knowledge and truth and wisdom. Like the apostles, good pastors and elders are laborers together for your joy. And I want you to know it. In Jesus' holy and blessed name, I invite you to church this weekend, not next weekend. Forget next weekend. It just doesn't matter. It's this coming weekend that matters most. Get in the habit. Come to church. Find a good one. It's going to be a confessional, preferably a Reformed church. It's what you want. Reformed Baptist, you hit the jackpot. Go in that beast and give yourself to it. Give it some time. Give it some time. And I pray that you find a great place to be in. You don't have to go to be a Christian, but you have to go to live like one.